Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Profs. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Dan Neely, CEO of Networked Insights and a thought leader in customer-driven research. So welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Dan, talk to me a little bit about how customer-driven market research differs from traditional forms of market research.
Ultimately, Paul, it's all about having the customer be the driver of the discussion. Let the customer decide what's important. It's no longer about trying to ask the right set of questions, guess what your customer's issues are, or proving a potential hypothesis. Traditional forms, they may offer answers to some questions, but ultimately they don't look at the potential white spaces. And let's be honest, the white spaces are where business killers exist.
Mm.
And so things that may come out of that you may not even think to look at. That's the reason that, you know, when we look at customer-driven research, it's radically different from the traditional forms.
Now, why is customer-driven maybe more effective than companies driving this process by themselves?
Well, when companies drive the process, you know, the initial questions and eventually the results, they're not getting the heart of what customer sentiment is all about. But customer-driven research is directly from the customer. It's unbiased and not tampered in any way. And it's directly from the customer with no, you know, no company intervention whatsoever. And that's as honest as it gets. When you really look at it.
Right.
It's no longer about the loudest person in the room. It's about maybe you've got 10 people in the corner that were engaging with each other and talking, you know, very quietly. And now we have the capacity to do this in an online forum. And we're no longer listening to the loudest person in the room. It focuses on the much broader set of a company's customer base as a whole.
Right. So, since the company is not the center of that process, so to speak, the validity of that data and the accuracy of that data gets more accurate and important. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely a fair statement.
Right.
It is about driving that, yeah.
Okay. Well, then how do you get the customer out of this? How do you get the company out of that process and the customer into the center of that process?
Mm-hmm. So it's all about getting customers to talk to each other and take the company out of that equation as a whole, right? As
mm-hmm.
I said. And when you think about that, it's, you know, customer communities, which are centered around a company's brand, and, you know, Web 2.0, et cetera, communities that are online, they're really the best way to connect customers. There are other social networks out there like MySpace and Facebook, which are great as well, but that's just a means to an end. It's the process of actually mining that information for rich customer insights that presents a real set of value in a customer-driven market research process.
Mm.
You know, the when you think about it, it's, you know, it, the traditional methods give access to the loudest person in the room. Maybe it's the person that always picks up the phone because during a survey session. Maybe it's the type A personality in a focus group. Here, what you're allowing it to happen is if I'm really engaged in a series of discussions and a series of topics that I care about, that's ultimately going to come through, and others are going to ultimately engage with me because, one, they're there. They've started coming there because of the brand. They have a brand association. But now they want to engage with others just like themselves rather than engaging directly with a company. And that's where we allow that process to really take hold and allow that, you know, to move forward, driven by the customer rather than by the company. But the company is still a host and engaged in that discussion because they are there as the host of those discussions.
So, you know, what kind of impact can this have on a company's business? I mean, I'm assuming this is going to be a very relevant and important piece of a company's research process.
Absolutely, and you know what we're seeing, I think, you know, in the market today is lots of companies are trying to take a look at, you know, how do we use Web 2.0? Where can it affect our business? And you know, I've seen it affect all areas of the business. You know, it's you know, marketing, you know, is one of the main organizations that's going to benefit tremendously by understanding what their customers react to and care about most. The overall business strategy, when you know, looking at a set of insights that may drive some long-term things and also short-term, it could be, you know, where the business focuses or pricing. Research and development, when engaged in a series of discussions with some R&D folks, they think about this as, hey, if I had this at the front of my process, this is going to be amazing for me. It's information that I've never really thought about before. Let's say you had a, you know, let's say this massive discussion going on about foreign exchange and how the types of foreign exchange products that should be developed by a, in a banking community. And those discussions are talking about things that a bank maybe hasn't even thought about packaging a product in that specific way. And so that becomes really relevant to what they're doing as a company. It's all about, you know, this information could potentially, you know, become something that is driving a set of decisions. I always talk about the, you know, it's the wisdom of the collective, and it sounds a little Star Trek-y, but the wisdom of the collective is about how do I start leveraging my customers to start doing things for me. Back in, you know, the 90s, we, you know, Jack Welch talked about digitization. We had a series of technologies that were going to create massive levels of efficiency in organizations. What's happening now with Web 2.0 and social media and kind of, you know, this next generation is our customers are going to drive that next set of efficiency within our businesses because they're going to start doing things for us that we have, you know, have been parts of our organization since, you know, since they began. And now all of a sudden our customers are saying, sure, we want to engage with this and we want to, you know, truly be part of the organization.
Now, do you think insights that you would glean from customer-driven research, would you use that in an advertising sense or even in an online advertising sense to increase relevancy, accuracy, or the message?
Advertising, you know, is definitely one of the areas of low-hanging fruit. If you look at advertising today, I mean, the number of times that we're all inundated with a set of, you know, a set of advertisements that are highly non-relevant. I mean, when you look at them, what comes to you? When I think about, you know, the next generation market research, if I'm able to come out and say, you know, yeah, there are two ways that, you know, this is going to affect the space. First, from a publisher's, you know, for a publisher, they can now determine what's important to their customer, what they're reading, what they're reacting to, and deliver, you know, a rich set of information to their advertisers. And then, you know, the result of which is being able to charge a much higher price because it's always going to be relevant because their conversion rates, which is ultimately what they're trying to get to, are going to be much higher because we've obviously gone to relevant targeted advertising around very specific topics, very specific demographics, and very specific activities. And then for companies that are gathering their own set of customer research, they can create much more compelling advertising discussions, potentially much more compelling advertising partnerships in which they're bringing a solution to a customer rather than bringing just a single, hey, it's all about us, and we're going to present you with a set of ads that are relevant and are relevant just to us as a company, not to what you, customer, are trying to solve as a whole.
Hmm. Now, do you think traditional forms of market research would be replaced by this, or is this an and or an or?
I think it's an and. I don't think focus groups are ever going to totally go away. I also don't think surveys are ever going to totally go away. I think there's definitely a space for both. When, you know, in looking out there as far as what's happening today, you know, there are some things that are going on that, you know, when I think about market research in the traditional manner is not going to be replaced for, like, a product testing, right? So we're not going to truly be able to, if it's a hard product that someone needs to hold and someone needs to react to, you know, community-driven research isn't going to solve that bit of the problem. However, it's going to work in conjunction with it. Let's say, you know, someone like a Procter & Gamble launches a new product and they want to go out and test it and they want to do diarying of this product over a long period of time. You know, they could actually have now a community based on that interaction over a long period of time. And then when it comes back to specific hard testing, want to see it, want to see people reacting to it, then therefore, you know, traditional market research is going to come back into the mix as well.
Right. So this is a long-standing community, right? This is not a focus group is sort of, you know, gather them together and then disperse. You know, this has a long-standing community feeling to it that you can continually go back and test and talk to a group of fans, let's say, of a given product or company, what have you.
Absolutely. You ultimately want to have, you know, we've in marketing, we've all talked about how do we get our customers to become advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way if I do advocate measurement when I look across my customers, I'm trying to get to something where they are engaged with me continually. And so this is a way for us to actually really see how people move through that loyalty process and become an advocate for my company and start bringing other people to me. And the only way to do that is with, you know, with this longitudinal community rather than a specific point in time. You know, that's when I look at the difference between customer-driven research and traditional market research, right? Traditional market research is all point in time.
Right.
It's a set of questions I go and ask. I want an answer to a question today. 6 months from today, I'll get an answer to it. It's a point in time that I go and talk to them. It also is, you know, it's it's highly, you know, it's obviously highly biased towards just having two lines in the sand, and that's what we're going to interact around. Whereas, as you said, you know, this is a longitudinal effect in that we're going to see the, you know, the ebb and flow of economics. We're going to see the ebb and flow of relationships with, you know, over time that someone has and the needs that someone has over time and how influences come together and then dissipate. And those are the things that allow us to be much more effective because, again, it's driven by the customer and the interactions they're having rather than the interactions that are being determined by a company and then some preconceived set of questions.
Right. So the implications of that is that you have to build it before you need it, right? You can't just build it, Johnny, on the spot, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, you know, net it out for us, for our listening audience, what should marketers be doing or thinking about now that we're on the precipice here of 08 in this, you know, customer-driven market research area?
I think it's definitely, there are areas of companies that people are, you know, trying to engage with customers directly, and there are, you know, probably the top five initiatives as you look out there. Market research is going to be done in any capacity, but let's think about a way that we can now start thinking of doing it through, you know, social media, potentially launching a community on your own site or engaging with communities that are already out there, or finding a way to connect the two together such that maybe you have a Facebook strategy or a MySpace strategy and you also have your own community.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I start thinking about linking those things together so I know who my influencers are in Facebook and MySpace, but I also know who my influencers are that exist within my community, and I start linking the two back together. Because really now I can start thinking about, you know, ROI for my marketing dollars, because I can now start thinking about how do I specifically target a set of influencers because they're going to spread the word much quicker than I can. And I know very specifically on a topical basis, on a product basis, and on a segment basis who it is that I'm interacting with. So really thinking about putting those dollars to work in a how can I spend a limited amount of money and the limited amount of dollars that I have and really ramp up it through a social and viral campaign rather than it being through something that is, you know, kind of my traditional one-time, one-hit, spent money on market research, got the results back in a binder, in whatever format it comes back to me, and it's really, you know, it doesn't have a long shelf life.
Right, right. Well, thank you for your time and insights today, Dan. And for our listeners, we'd like to hear what you're doing in customer-driven research or any questions that you might have for Dan. So please leave them on the corresponding blog. And thank you all for listening.